Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Cheryl Faxon. Thank you so much for joining me today for Fend the Life, the process of there, where we are empowered in this 15 minutes in our walk of faith and our process and the things that God has called us to. And as we are encouraged in this, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we study the Word of God, understand His will for our life, understand that the process is not always easy, but it's necessary because it takes us from height to height, depth to depth, face to face, glory to glory, and it's the place where God is glorified in our lives. We become the salt in the earth. We become that light that sits upon a hill that someone else is able to see. We become that which is able to empower someone else through the Word of God, the life of God, the truth of God, the will and the Word of God. We become that which is necessary for someone else to be encouraged, to walk by faith and not by sight. And we also lead people to Jesus Christ. God chooses unlikely people for His purpose and His plan, calls them to something that they can never do for themselves or to themselves, and then He empowers them with His life, His Spirit, as we believe and trust in Him to walk through and overcome and process. This process causes us to possess all that God has for us. We have been studying unlikely places of blessings. We started off in the book of Esther, ended up speaking about Joseph and that unlikely place. Now we're dealing still in the book of Genesis with Jacob, the unlikely character or character change, how God can use you in the beginning when your character, when your integrity, when your life is not matching what He says about you, but yet He still calls you to His purpose and His plan, and in the end, that thing that you could never imagine happens in your life. God changes you. Better is the end of the thing than the beginning thereof. He changes you, and you see the demonstration of His power. But while you're in the process of being changed, God blesses you, encourages you, and makes you love Him and trust Him so that you allow Him to do what He needs to in your life. So we're going to go back to today, and we're going to continue this series of unlikely places of blessing, and we're going to see what God has to say in this 15-minute empowerment. Just picking up briefly from what we left off last week, we understand that Esau sold his birthright to his, and when he sold his birthright to his brother, the Bible says that he despised his birthright. He despised it. He didn't like it. To him, it was something of contempt. And what happened, the Word of God says that what happened is that because he despised it, Numbers 15, 30 and 31 says, but the person who does anything presumptuously, whether he is a native or born of a native born or a stranger, that one brings reproach to the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people because he despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandments. That person shall be completely cut off, and his guilt shall be upon him. This despise also goes with 2 Samuel 12 and 9. David basically was told by the prophet, and basically he was told about despising the word of the Lord because he broke two of the commandments. In Malachi 1 and 6, God is speaking to the priests, and he's talking about them despising him because they would not heed or the word of the Lord. And you have to understand when they're looking at someone's name and despising someone's name, it's a symbol of someone's character, their works, and their reputation. So God was letting them know, you despise my character, you despise my work and my reputation, all that I stand for. You're despising it when you don't heed my word. So he did not want the inheritance of what God was giving, and it was an everlasting inheritance, a covenant. As the story goes on, we see that there's a famine in the land, and Isaac is moving to Gerar. And what happens is, as he's there, the Lord speaks to him. The Lord says some things to him because God does not want him to basically stay in Egypt. He doesn't want him going to Egypt like his father did. He wants him to go to the place that he's called him to. The famine that Abraham experienced, God did not want him going into the place of Egypt. This was something different that God was doing.
God instructed him to dwell in the land that he was going to show him, and he was going to bless him there. God was going to give him blessings that was going to impact not only him, but his descendants. God was establishing his covenant with Isaac, just as he had done with Abraham. And God's covenant was an everlasting covenant. This is the same covenant that we share. It has not, everything that we experience or we see or we read about in the Old Testament has been completely fulfilled in the New Testament by Jesus Christ. So we experience, we know, and we can walk in and claim every promise, every covenant that God spoke and from Genesis throughout the Bible as ours, because Jesus has come and fulfilled it, and it belongs to us. If we can hold on and believe by faith and decree it by faith, knowing that God is faithful, this same covenant is coming to us. Even though our covenant in the New Testament deals with eternal life and empowerment of the Spirit, the same principles of the covenant of the Old Testament apply to us, of God's provision, God's protection, the things that God will do for us. These things were fulfilled through Jesus Christ, and they belong to us. We are connected, and we receive the same blessings and benefits as the children and descendants of Abraham because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And God promised to make Isaac's descendants numerous as the stars because of the covenant that God had with Abraham. And the reason why God was doing this is because Abraham believed God. He heard God's voice, and he believed God, and he trusted God to do what he said. We have got to be that same, have that same attitude. When God speaks to us through his word or speaks to us personally and tells us something, we've got to believe God wholeheartedly and respond to his voice and do all that he says. When we do, our obedience brings blessings. And it not only brings blessings to us, but it brings blessings to our children and our children's children's children. We're setting up something that God will be reminded to visit our seed and visit them in a way that shows that he's faithful because of our obedience unto him. Everybody doesn't want to obey the Lord. Everybody doesn't want to follow his plan and his purpose. But for those who choose to do it and they do it wholeheartedly, God is going to reward them and bless them, not only in the life to come, but here in the earth. He's going to do something for them that every generation of their family will be touched by. This is what we see in the legacy of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. He didn't stop with them. He's able to build something because of our obedience that touches every generation of our family and shows his power if we allow him to do that. So that's what God wants. He wants every generation to know him and have a relationship. And the word of God says that he visits every generation. So we want him to visit every generation of our family with favor, with blessings, with his word, with his will, with his empowerment, with his instructions, and so that every generation will be blessed with the name of the Lord and the power and the will of the Lord. And he wants to use us to start it. If our generations in our family never did it, God wants to use you. Why not you? You're a great candidate for him to use so he can build something that every generation of your family will be blessed by. We see that God makes sure that the promise that he gives is a not only a promise to them, but he said the entire world is going to be blessed because of Isaac and the covenant that he's made with Abraham. And God lets them know that God is going to give his descendants the land and his seed, and all of the earth shall be blessed. That's what he says in his word. And all because of Abraham's obedience. That is powerful obedience when God can say that. God tells Isaac to go to Gerar, and which is the place that has better farmland. It has better farmland than the other places around him. So this is good because God is saying, I'm going to use this as a spiritual thing because I'm going to show you how I can take little and I can multiply it. I'm going to give you ground that I can use. I'm going to show you something in the natural realm of ground that I can use, but I'm going to also use it in the spirit realm and show you how I'm going to fertilize your seed and how I'm going to bless your seed. So it's showing two aspects of a natural blessing and a spiritual blessing. Isaac gets into the city, and he lies about his true relationship with his wife, just like his father, but he lied even greater. He says that that his wife is his sister. King sees them looks through a window and sees Isaac being very endearing to his wife, and he knows that this is not his sister, that this is his wife, and he comes to him and says, why did you deceive me? Because he understood that because she was pretty, because she was a beautiful woman, that one of the men could have taken advantage of her, could have made with her, thinking that she was available. So the king provides for protection for Isaac and for Rebekah, and he says to them, if any man touches him or her, they're going to be put to death. So God allowed the king to be protection for both of them while they were there. And while they were there, the Lord began to prosper Isaac. He began to bless him while he was there. God allowed the place of famine to be the place of his real blessing, where God began to increase him. There are times in your life that God is going to put you in a predicament that doesn't look in your favor, but he will use that opportunity, if you would trust him and obey him and listen to what he says, to be the place where your blessing begins, where your increase begins. He just wants to see, will you be faithful there? Will you do all that he tells you there? Will you trust him right there? And as you are, blessings are going to happen in your life. The Bible says that Isaac sowed in the land, and he reaped a hundredfold, and God began to bless him. Isaac began to prosper, and he began to become more very, very prosperous. So he started off sowing the seed, and the seed that he sowed reaped him a hundredfold. It said he sowed the seed and the seed reaped him a hundredfold. God will cause you to sow something and a hundredfold blessing is going to come to you because of what you sow. Whether it's money, your time, your obedience, your faith, whatever it is, God is going to cause you to reap that hundredfold blessing because you trust him and you're following the instructions that he gave you. You're following what he told you. And as you follow what he told you, he's going to cause you to prosper. It started off with a hundredfold blessing, and then that hundredfold began to bring prosperity, and then he became very prosperous. So we see the stages of where God is taking him. He started off with a seed. The seed yielded a hundredfold. Then prosperity began to come, and then he became very prosperous. You can never allow the place of blessing to be the place where you stop seeking and searching after God. It always has to be the place where you give God more thanks, more thanksgiving, more faith, more obedience, because he's opened up the door to prosper you. It is God who causes you to prosper. And whenever we allow him that obedience to take us further into prosperity, we cannot worship the place of prosperity or the place of blessing. We have to worship the God who gave the blessing and obey him and serve him even further with our obedience. Isaac does this. The Bible says that he had flocks and herds and many servants. And the Philistines, where he was, the land that he was living in, they began to envy him, and they started to stop up every well that his father had already opened up, already built, already put, allowed water to get there. So everywhere where these wells were, the Philistines went and filled with rocks, with rubble, with sand, with dirt. They filled them up to stop the flow. The enemy may try to stop the flow of your life. He might try to stop something that God has already allowed someone else to dig for you, or you've dug yourself. But God is not going to allow that to happen. He's going to still continue to make a way for a flow to reach your life, for water to reach your life, for refreshing to reach your life. God is going to make you prosperous, and he's going to do it because he's God Almighty. The Bible said that God's special work for Abraham began to extend for Isaac, that God didn't stop it. Isaac's covenant with Abimelech, who was the king, the Philistine king, was already set in order. They made a covenant together. And now that covenant's in play, Isaac's in the land where his father made a covenant with the king, and yet the king, because of envy, because of jealousy, they try to sabotage that covenant by taking the wells that his father had built, had opened, and now using those wells, filling those wells with sand to fill them with dirt. And Isaac named every one of the wells that he built the same name as his father as he goes back and rebuilds. Don't allow the enemy to stop you from building what God says. Whatever God says to name it that, and know that whatever he's established in your life is going to happen. God has prospered you and blessed you, and you should be only what the Lord has said, regardless of what enemies are jealous of you or what they tried to do. I'm Pastor Cheryl Faxon. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there, where we're empowered by our faith, by our trust in God, and our walk. We believe God for the impossible, and we're going to see it manifest because his hand is on our life. Join me tomorrow for, again, my favorite life, the process of death.